Blog Talk Radio.
Marcy Cheek, and this is my show, Say What? When? Where was it? Why? The most important question that I have asked my whole life is why? My mother said I used to drive her crazy. She'd tell me something, and I'd say, well, why? And she would just say, because I said so. She got so tired of it. But I've been curious about how things work and why things happen. And this morning, this show is the last in a four-part series of It's Not What You Eat, It's What You Say. It is a somewhat revolutionary new diet weight management program. I'd rather call it weight management than diet. I don't like that word diet. It sounds restrictive. It sounds limiting. Weight management sounds much more like we have things under control and that we're happy with what we're doing. And I told you that we were going to concentrate on you and get you ready to be all that you're supposed to be. Know why you're here, know what you're to do, and to do it in a happy, carefree, lightweighted spirit that is something you look forward to every single day. I look forward to every single day, the sun coming up and getting out of bed and getting going on the 101 things I've got to do that day. And life is fun and exciting. And that's the purpose of my show, and it's the purpose for all of us actually here on Earth. And I've been over in Palm Springs for several days, and while I was here, I met a lady from Palm Springs, and in just a few minutes, I'm going to have her tell you her story about weight management. And her story begins with a change of her mind. And that's where all weight management is going to start. It's in your mind. It's not what you eat, but it's what you first think, what you first think about, and then what you will say, and that will eventually influence your weight. But before we get to her story, let's do a little bit of review. Last week, I talked about our belief systems. What do we believe about ourselves? Like, do we really think we are worthy, or do we think we're just no good? And because these beliefs are in our mind, they start in our heart. Our heart is supposed to be full of love, and then we love ourselves, we love God, then we love ourselves, and then we love others. But we discussed how our beliefs can come down to us from our ancestors. They can come from contracts and agreements that we've made during this lifetime or maybe even before we came here, from the core of our soul and from genetic history. And I gave you a way to try to test your belief systems to see if they're good for you or not. And for those of you who have not listened to part three of this series yet, I suggest that you do that, and just as review, we'll go again on how to test a belief system. So you just take your right thumb and your right pointer finger and put them together to make a circle. And now take your left pointer finger and put it in the circle. Then you ask yourself a question like, is believing that I am important good for me? And then try to break the circle. Well, if you break the circle, the answer is no. That's not good for you. But if you can't break the circle, then the answer is yes. And I'm sure you'll get a yes answer on that, because believing that you are important is good for you. The most important thing that we can learn during our lifetime is to love ourselves and to love ourselves first before any other person. We begin by acknowledging that we are one with God, that we came from God, that we are part of God, and that we are perfect in our natural state. And then from this foundation, we can love ourselves. You know, it's hard to love yourself if you think you are a sinner, or if you think you're, you know, lower class, or, you know, I'm not very smart, or, you know, I don't do good doing these things, or I've always had a hard time doing this, or, and sometimes a lot of people think that if they don't have a lot of money, then rich people are better than they are, or a lot of people think that a pretty person is smarter than they are. It doesn't have anything to do with being smart or not smart, whether you're pretty or not. So people have all kinds of beliefs that limit themselves and make it so they can't be all that they can be. So did you go through all those things that your mother taught you and that your father taught you, and test and see if those beliefs are still good for you? If you listen to part three, you heard me say that my mother had taught me that my father was evil, and that I had that same evil in me, and that I would have to fight it my whole life. So when I was younger, I felt very shy. I was shy, and I would not engage in friendships or in groups in my community because I didn't think I should. I thought, well, if I have evil in me, then I shouldn't try to be a part of that. Or I wouldn't be a good friend to somebody, or they wouldn't want to be with me. So it's taken a lot of therapy to get that all out of me. You know, it never really was in me. But if you're taught that it's in you, then you believe it's in you. And then it's whatever you've been taught and whatever you believe, that's what's true for you, whether it's true or not. Well, it wasn't true for me, and I did get it all out. And now I know that I am perfect in my natural state. So I feel free to express myself, and I can enter into friendships and relationships, and I feel like I have value that I can add to a relationship or to my community. So now when I test to see if believing that I am valuable is good for me, I get a resounding yes. So beginning with what you believe about yourself is the big key to weight management, because you're going to need a belief system that says that you are valuable, that you are important, that you are deserving of attention. And you will also need to believe that the perfect weight for you will manifest as you begin to think and say that you are attractive, and now you are the perfect weight for you. And as you believe you are perfect in your natural state, you will begin to create a system of weight management that is the effect of what you say. Now, I want to have you listen to this interview I did with a lady from Palm Springs. And first of all, when I first talked to her, I learned that she had been taught she was a valuable person by her parents from the very beginning. She is an identical twin, and her mother made sure that her girls had fine clothes. They were taught etiquette and courtesies. They were given ballet lessons and baton lessons, and they performed together in baton competitions, and they won many, many prizes, and that gave them a great sense of accomplishment. So Pat's sense of herself is very strong, and that strength was evident in the decision that she made about her weight management. So let's hear her story. Hi, this is Marcy Ann, and I'm in Palm Springs, California. Took a couple days to come over here and bask in the sunshine. It's around 70, 72 degrees. Yesterday they had their first day of rain in like 10 and a half months. They have like 7 days of rain a year, and the rest are bright and sunny like it is today. And I have a normal population here in Palm Springs is like 40,000 a year. 40,000 people, but in the winter time that it swells to around 200,000. So I have met a lady here named Pat, and we got to chatting, and she was telling me her story of her how she's handled her weight, and I thought it might be interesting to just hear her story. And in this of our last of the four-part series on weight loss for the January shows. And so thank you, Pat, for talking with me today, and welcome to my show.
Thank you for having me, Marcy Ann.
So in your life, you reached a point in your life when you decided, or where you recognized that you were beginning to have a weight problem. Was that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so tell me about this. What happened?
Well, I began to get quite heavy. I was over 50, and I recognized that at my age I was having limitations on what I could do physically. Health-wise, I knew I needed to shed some weight, and it was a process that I had tried in the past but had failed. But realizing now that I was more motivated, I decided to look at various programs that would help me lose weight.
Okay, so first of all, your motivation was health. It's
yes.
Like you thought you might begin to develop more health problems if you stayed heavy?
I was having some difficulty walking. I developed a pinched nerve, and it was difficult to get around without feeling exhausted. I lacked energy, and I didn't have the desire to be as active as I had been in the past. So that was a motivation for me to lose weight. I had attended Weight Watchers in the past, and it was a program that always worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
As you are accountable, you must get on a scale and show that you are willing.
Yeah, in front of everybody. Well, actually, yes. It is pretty private when you do
yes.
it.
But yes, but the program.
You see it.
Yes. In the past, the program worked temporarily, but I did not take it serious. This time, I was motivated, and I went to Weight Watchers, and I learned their techniques, which I had learned in the past, but each year they improved the program. And so I followed it, and I gradually lost weight. And I knew after having the knowledge from the program that I could continue doing this on my own.
So you had a secondary motivation, you told me, though. What was your secondary motivation to start the weight loss program?
At that time, my husband and I were planning to go on a vacation.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to look nice, presentable. And I felt by losing weight, I'd be able to wear clothing that I could not wear in the past. Or for myself, I love to wear new clothing. I could go out and buy new outfits.
You're very stylish. I notice your outfit is very stylish today.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, I enjoy fashion. I like to look nice. And so that was my secondary reason.
So first, health.
Health.
And then secondly, look good.
Yes.
Okay, so in your beginning thought system then, because I've been talking about how our thought systems, what we think is what we say, and then what we say is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And
So that was your, you put the weight on gradually then? Was it a gradual gain, little by little?
Yes, it was a gradual gain, little by little.
Yeah. So sometimes after 50, we do you think there's a thought system that, oh gosh, I'm getting old now, and you sort of slow down? Do you think there's a thought system attached to that?
I believe there is, although I do not feel like you have to think that way. I think if you
exactly
if you have issues with your weight, there are ways to accomplish weight loss. One way is a program that I went through, and that would also include, which I also included, exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like because you're at a certain age that you have to feel like
you're old.
You're old, and it's something that you just have to accept.
Exactly.
Now, I realize I'm not going to look or have a figure that I did when I was in college, but I also recognize that I could be attractive at this age.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
So I was never motivated to look like I was at 21, but I was motivated to look better than I was looking at 45, 50.
So the Weight Watcher program worked for you. How long did it take you to get the down? Did you go down to the weight they suggest that you go to?
Almost. I lacked 5 pounds. But I was at a level where I just did not feel that I needed to lose anymore. I was very comfortable.
You were happy with how you looked.
Exactly. I was not motivated to become very thin or to lose a lot of weight. I was just motivated to look better, to be more healthy, to be able to get around. So I was very comfortable at the weight that I got down to.
Okay. Now, people do these programs and they get down to the weight, and then it's kind of like they go back to the way they used to think, and they go off the, you know, they don't really learn that they've actually learned a new lifestyle.
Correct.
They think, okay, I lost the weight, and then they go back to living the life they lived before, which is just going to put it all back on.
Exactly.
But you've maintained.
Well,
so now, what thought system did you develop then to maintain?
Well, I will have to state that the weight was coming back on, and I recognized that I was not continuing with the program.
Oh.
They teach you portion control exercise, and I was getting unmotivated. As I looked back, I saw that I was not following the program. So as I started gradually gaining a few pounds, I knew I needed to get back on the program, start focusing on getting back to the weight that I initially had got down to when I was at the weight I wanted to be. So it's hard to maintain your weight, I feel, especially if you enjoy food as I do, and I enjoy traveling, I enjoy good food.
And here we are at Cheeky's here in Palm Springs, the hot spot place to eat right now.
Yes.
In Palm Springs, and we have a 45-minute wait here to get this good food, but you're going to really go in and enjoy it, right?
Exactly.
And not feel guilty. I mean, I think some people go ahead and eat, but then with every bite they feel guilty, and you don't do that, do you?
No, I don't. I think I'm very realistic. Again, I'm very comfortable with the weight I am. I don't feel like I need to be at the ideal weight.
And it's ideal for you.
Right, it's ideal for me. I feel comfortable.
And you look very nice, very pretty today.
Well, I can.
Yes, it looks good.
I can walk. I can do those things. That's
what you want
to
do.
I want to stress that for me, it wasn't that I needed to get down to the ideal weight that Weight Watchers recommended, or the weight that they recommend for my height. I am tall.
Uh-huh.
I am too. And we do way more.
Yes, and I feel very comfortable.
I do too.
And so my mindset is to feel comfortable at the weight I'm at. And I do feel comfortable.
So if you find that you've gone up a few pounds, what do?
I just cut back. I make my portion smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I leave food on the plate. I don't indulge in my sweet tooth as much. I do enjoy that on occasion, but I don't indulge as I would in the past.
Right.
I watch.
But you don't do a program of denial.
No, yeah. It does not work for me.
Uh-huh.
If I was to do that, I would fall back
uh-huh.
off the diet and begin to gain the weight.
But
back.
Don't you think it more of it is a lifestyle instead of a diet?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I think that if you can start to think
uh-huh. in terms of a lifestyle,
yes, because
then you don't feel like you're being punished or that you're not having what you want.
Mm-hmm. I don't like the word diet.
I don't either.
Because it makes it sound like you have to be very restrictive.
And it sounds temporary, too, and then
yes.
that you can go back and do something
mm-hmm.
else. But if you don't develop the lifestyle, then you're not going to ever have maintenance.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I do not feel like you have to exist on lettuce salads and carrots and cucumbers and...
Or feel guilty about that red velvet chocolate cake.
Exactly, Marcia. Yes.
Well, we're going to look forward to our big breakfast here at Cheeky's. It's supposed to be, and I told her that my name was Cheek and that I should have a discount, so we'll see whether that happens or not. So thank you for so much for sharing with me.
You're
I think
welcome.
This is going to be very helpful for our audience. After 50 years old, it's everybody's, pretty much everybody has to, unless they were born with this other kind of a metabolism, you know,
correct.
That they, those real high metabolism people that are like being with a whirlwind, you know, they don't ever have a weight problem.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My pleasure, Marcian.
Thank you so much.
I hope that was okay.
This is part 4 of this series. It's not what you eat, it's what you say. And I am really hopeful that now you have some ideas to think about that will begin to change any negative ways that you're treating yourself or negative ways you think about yourself, and that you are beginning now to build a new set of beliefs that are loving and supportive of who you are and who you want to be. I want you to know that the music on my show is from visionarymusic.com. Their music is created to love and support us in any way when we are making changes in our lives. And you can look on the internet at their website, visionarymusic.com, to see any other CDs they have that might help you. The music I have been using on my show is used to repair and restore DNA. This show today is on Sunday. I've been all over the place the last 2 or 3 weeks because I've had a lot of company and I've been doing some traveling and I've sort of done my show, you know, and moments when I could take a little time for myself. And but I'm going to be going back to Saturday morning at 8:30 next week. And I hope you'll be tuning in. And I just want to thank you all so much for listening. You just have no idea what it's like for me to go get my statistics every week on my radio show and realize that you really are out there and you're listening to the show, and I just appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week now, this is Marcianne, and I'm saying aloha. Aloha means hello, goodbye, and I love you.